south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. All right, today we've got another crazy chapter in the Expat Eddie saga. That's if we get to it. You know how I can ramble. And after you hear it, you're going to think, man, let that be a lesson to us all. But first, let's talk about something more practical. You know, when you move into a new apartment, condo, townhouse, whatever, what's the first thing you do after you clean the place out? Well, you move your furniture in, of course, and you start hanging knickknacks, doodads, pictures, mirrors, coat racks, well, all kinds of stuff. I know, you're thinking, big deal, that's old hat. People do it all the time. Well, I'm here to tell you today that in Latin America, putting up pictures, posters, hanging lamps, mirrors, whatever, it's a whole different thing from the way you do it up in the States. And it could just drive you nuts. Because, remember, up in the States, you've got wooden studs and drywall, in probably 95% of the cases anyway. And all you do if you want to hang something is run down to the hardware store, buy a package of wall fasteners or drywall anchors. And if you're hanging something heavy, maybe a toggle bolt, you know, those bolts that have a kind of a collapsible wing nut on one end of them that you shove through the hole and it pops open on the other side within the wall and you tighten it up. Then as you tighten it, it uses compression to solidify the attachment. And why use that? Well, it's because you can put bigger, heavier objects on the wall than you can when using those tiny plastic wall clips. In fact, most of the people that resort to those toggle bolts have done so because they put the much cheaper and less complicated plastic ones in and they failed. I know, we're all familiar with that stuff, and we know what kind of errors you can make too, especially if you put something heavy on the wall. Like, for example, a big mirror with a metal border. And you've undersized your wall attachment. That's what generally happens, right? Hey, I've been there. We've all been there, right? But so what? Then you just pop another hole next to it in the drywall, and you'll be a little more careful with the tolerances next time, and everything works out fine, right? But what about here in Latin America, where everything that's worth building is done in concrete and rock-hard plaster, and I mean rock-hard? Well, for one thing, that means forget about that cheapo 1999 drill with the quarter-inch chuck that you bought at Walmart or the local hardware store. And don't even think to buy one of those real cheapo drills that looks like a modified flashlight. Fact is, you'll really need something much more substantial than that. Because if you're down here in Latin America for the rest of your life, you're going to, sooner or later, end up drilling holes in concrete walls. So you'll have to dish out probably at least $35 to $50 for what they call a hammer drill, or at least a drill that has a switch on it that changes it into a hammer drill. Because, you know, with the hammer drill function, the bit's not just spinning around, it's going back and forth and up and down, too. So you'll make a lot more headway in the concrete. Although, it still will not be a breeze, ladies. Because you'll know if you ever tried it, that holes drilled in concrete and block and cement can take a long time and wear your patience, not to mention wear out the drill bit. And speaking of drill bits, you'd be wise to have an assorted bunch of concrete drill bits on hand because you're going to need those for any number of repair jobs around the house, even if you're not the one doing it, because your maintenance man's going to have to drill holes, and for sure he won't have a hammer drill and he'll be using yours, and he won't have any concrete drill bits either. He'll be using your stuff too, which is why you should have a minimal amount of assorted junk in your toolbox, or else you'll be sending him back and forth to the local hardware store like a madman. For example, as for the case of drilling holes in concrete, you know, a regular old drill bit for wood or even steel will not work in concrete. It'll just start smoking, and you'll burn your fingers if you try to remove it too quickly from the chuck. And for you ladies out there who usually have your men do the handiwork like that, oh, did I say something sexist? Is that on PC? Well, sue me. Hey, it's the truth. Most women get their men to do that kind of stuff, right? All right, so now you know what you're going to need around the house. A decent, though not necessarily expensive, drill that has what's called a hammer drill option, a little button or lever on it that switches it from a regular drill to one that kind of spins and vibrates the drill bit. Oh, and by the way, for you ladies out there, when it's on the hammer drill function, it's going to make a lot of noise, and it'll tend to walk away from you when you first start drilling the hole. So just know that drilling holes in concrete's around 10 times more difficult and messy than drilling in drywall or wood. So get used to it. All right, let's get back to when you first rent an apartment or buy a house, whatever. If it's not new, meaning there were previous tenants, They'll certainly have removed their stuff off the walls, and there'll probably be plenty of holes in the plaster, concrete, or block where they've made attempts, mostly unsuccessfully, to fill the holes of the wall anchors I was talking about. However, and this goes back to the general Latino lack of detail, or more than likely it's just that they do it the way everyone else does and has been doing it for generations. That's the way Dad and Grandpa did it. But often, because they don't have a hammer drill, they'll just pound a big nail right into the wall. And even if the walls are plaster, concrete, and block, if you've got a thick enough nail and a big enough hammer, you can make some headway and get them to stick. But man, I'll tell you, it ain't pretty, and they're not likely to hold forever, that's for sure. By the way, here in Latin America, if you're going to move out of a place, there's a kind of a catch-22 in the attempt to recover your deposit, which is, by the way, why I always suggest you pay 6 months or a year up front. Then when they ask for a deposit, you tell them, what, a deposit? I just paid you 6 months up front. And generally, they think about it for a second, scratch their head, and cave. You know, I've been down here more than 27 years now, and I only know one person who ever got their deposit back. Oh, a few have gotten a partial deposit back, but a complete deposit, only one lucky fool. And here's how it goes, and it usually has to do with the fact that you've got a lot of holes in the wall from hanging things, right? Now, if you leave the fasteners in the wall, the landlord's going to say, hey, we got to repaint the place and pull the anchors. They're called, by the way, tarugos here in Latin America. Anchors are called tarugos. Anyway, like I said, you really can't win as far as getting the deposit back, because if you're a real nice tenant and you pull out the wall anchors and re-plaster them or spackle them, the landlord's going to say they have to repaint the place. No, not just those little dabs where those tarugos were. They'll say, oh no, we got to repaint the whole place. Because, you know, after you've lived in a place for a while, the paint fades, and sometimes there's kind of a shadow effect around a picture or a frame you hung due to dust and fading and stuff. You know what I'm talking about. So even if you pull them out, replaster them, and retouch them with paint, it's never enough. The landlord will always have a reason to say, look, the paint doesn't match, we got to do the whole thing, and it's coming out of your deposit. So just be aware of that. It's not such a big deal, but also remember that most landlords will buy the paint and, of course, subtract it from your deposit. But isn't it funny? They'll go out and buy expensive paint, like Sherwin-Williams. Meanwhile, you'll generally find the empty paint cans they used initially before you even got in the place, stuffed in a laundry room closet or under the kitchen sink, and you'll see they use the cheapest no-name brand of local paint possible. Oh, and speaking of cheap paint, down here in Latin America, they've got all kinds of dirt-cheap no-name paint brands, and most of it junk. And also the comparatively high-end stuff like Sherwin-Williams. But do notice when you're driving around and you see some guy painting a house, they're almost never using Sherwin-Williams or Sears or Benjamin Moore or any of the high-end stuff. They're using the local brands that are half the price as Sherwin-Williams. And not only that, every single painter down here dilutes his paint with water. Hey, it goes a lot farther, right? Even though it says right on the cans of the good paint, like Sherwin-Williams, and I'm using that as an example, they've got others, do not dilute. Or it'll void the warranty. Yeah, like any of us has ever taken paint back because it says on the label one coat, and it's never one coat. They're bigger liars than politicians. Somehow, they get away with it, and no one has ever addressed that issue. Well, we are now, but in Latin America, there's nobody to sue anyway, which, believe it or not, in most ways, is a good thing. However, here in Latin America, painters are so used to diluting the paint that actually says on the labels of the cheap brands the proper way to dilute it. Say what? However, us gringos know there is no proper way. You just don't dilute it. Unless you're a truly cheap ass and you're only painting your house or apartment because you're fixing to sell it. Oh, and by the way, note that 99% of Latin painters don't use masking tape or drop cloths either. So even though that stuff's widely available, to Latino workmen, it's just an unnecessary expense. So again, buyer beware. When the job's done, you can expect drops and spatters on everything, even your car and your windows. And your dog. Oh, and you've heard me say this many times in past shows. When you hire a Latin workman to do anything for you, whether it's painting, electrical, plumbing, they never completely clean up after themselves. So, for example, if you paid a guy to wire some electrical for you or fix something, even if it works just fine and the repair is all you wanted it to be, don't pay him the money and say goodbye until you've done a nice, thorough inspection of where he's been working. In fact, you'd do well to hand him a mop and a broom and say, hey, you ain't done until it's cleaned up. Cleanup after a job just does not seem to be on the average Latin guy's radar. Now, of course, a lot of gringos say, well, I guess it doesn't matter too much because I've got a cleaning lady, a maid, you know. Plus, they're shocked how little they pay for a repair. In fact, one gringa who had a guy come in and fix her washing machine, she said he made a terrible mess, but she felt guilty asking him to clean up since he was so damn cheap. In fact, she said it cost her as much to have the whole thing fixed as it would have cost to get an estimate up in the States. But still, it kind of gets on your nerves that these guys will come in and trash up the room you're in, mung up your woodwork, and leave their fingerprints on your walls. So expect that, and expect you'll be pissed off a lot too. So my advice, advise them right when they walk through the door that you want to see the place exactly as you left it. And they'll agree to that, though probably no one's ever said that to them before. But hey, never too late to clean up your act, right? So it's important to talk about these things they call tarugos. They're the absolute best way to anchor anything into a concrete wall, or even if you're going to bolt anything down to cement anywhere in a house in Latin America. Now, these things are different than the plastic wall anchors you've got in the States, or even the metal expansion bolts you've probably seen if you've ever worked with concrete. You might have worked with them. You drill a hole, you shove the bolt in there, and then you whack it with a hammer, and it expands deep in the hole and tightens itself up. Great idea, but I've had trouble with those things. Hey, they're available down here too, and I'm not saying they don't work, but they're a little tricky to get to fasten tight. It's true, at first they work fine. However, in the long run, they always seem to work themselves a bit loose. So I'm not sold on them, and that's why I'm going to tell you the best way I've ever found to attach things to concrete walls. If you do it right, it really is permanent. So I mentioned those plastic tarugos, and they work. And often when you walk into an apartment that you might want to rent, let's say, you'll see some of them embedded in the walls that they haven't taken out. And as mentioned, they do work, after a fashion anyway. But in time, they do loosen up too. Why? Well, one of the reasons is because there's so many earthquakes here. In fact, I know this probably sounds a little scary, but sometimes you get hundreds of them in a day. They're just so small and imperceptible that only the seismographs can pick them up. Anyway, all those nano movements going on day after day, plus the fact that Latinos almost always undersize those things. In other words, they hang a big mirror, and they're supposed to use a big fat tarugo that's maybe 2 inches long, meaning it's got to go into the wall 2 inches. And in that case, you should use one that's 3/8 or a half an inch wide. But instead, because most Latins don't have a hammer drill, and even if they have one, they have a undersized one with only a 1/4 inch chuck. That means you're limited in the width of the drill bit you can use. By the way, with all decent drills, the chuck will usually open up to fit a half-inch bit. But that's neither here nor there, because some concrete bits could be a half an inch, but the shaft is cut down to a 1/4 inch. That's to accommodate the smaller drills, of course. Hey, I don't want to lose you here, but this is kind of important. Like I said, many Latins use these plastic tarugos, and they're heavy-duty plastic, by the way, and they hold nicely, sometimes for a long while, but eventually they work loose, either because they're undersized for the job, or the hole was drilled too sloppy or big, and it's not a good fit, and then you've got the earthquakes. But you know, there's a simple and easy way to mount those things forever, at least for a lifetime. And it's something I do all the time, because I've drilled and placed 1,000 of these things and doing construction and stuff. You know, they're always amazed when I show a Latin maintenance guy or a construction guy my own little tricks. They always say, wow, I gotta start doing that. And whether they do or not, I don't know, but I've got a method. And listen to this. All right, so you buy a handful of those tarugos. You ask the guy at the hardware store for the right drill bit for the necessary hole you'll have to drill. By the way, if it's a big tarugo, that means one that's 3/4 or a half inch wide. You'll have to get that same size concrete bit, but believe me, you have to buy a much smaller one, maybe 1/8 inch concrete bit, and drill a pilot hole. Or else, if you start out with the big fat half inch bit, your drill's going to wander all over the place and you'll never put that hole in straight or exactly in the right spot you've marked. But you can do that real easily with a tinier 1/8 or 1/4 inch concrete bit. All right, so now you've drilled the pilot hole and you've struggled with drilling that half inch hole 2 inches deep. And believe me, sometimes when you're drilling, you'll hit a rock that's been mixed in with the concrete. And man, you'll feel like you've been drilling forever. And sometimes you'll get through it and sometimes you won't. If you don't, you have to decide if you're deep enough. And if you're at 1 inch or 1.5 inches deep, maybe you are. So then you cut down the tarugo accordingly. But sometimes you'll hit that metal rebar, which is crisscrossed throughout the concrete in all Latin homes. And then you just have to forget about it and start drilling another hole nearby, because you're never going to get through that metal. And if you go at it too long, you'll destroy your bit. All right, let's assume you've drilled a hole and now there's dust everywhere because that's what's going to happen when you drill through concrete. So the cleanup is pretty nasty. But here's the solution to that. You get yourself a vacuum cleaner. And if you're nice and coordinated, you can hold a nozzle right under the drill bit as you're drilling and all the dust will be sucked into the vacuum cleaner. Best, though, to have someone else hold it for you because you'll have a hard enough time drilling through that concrete. Sometimes you'll need two hands for that. And a lot of body English, too. Now, that vacuum cleaner trick will alleviate one huge mess, believe me. Now, here's the part that amazes Latin contractors. You get yourself a straw, yeah? A regular drinking straw. The kind you can bend to a 90-degree angle. You know, they got little ribs in them. You just bend them and they kink to 90 degrees. Well, you kink it, stick the small end all the way into the hole, and blow on the straw, and there'll be a big puff of dust coming out of that hole. Now, that's part of the key to getting these things to fit nice and tight, to get the dust out of there, because you don't want to jam it into the hole with a hammer or whatever. When you've got a thimble full of dust deep in there, then when you pound the tarugo or plastic insert in with your hammer, chances are it won't pound all the way flush. You'll have some of it sticking out. And now you're kind of screwed because the whole system's been weakened. However, you use that little straw trick I just told you about, none of that'll happen. But there's one last thing. You go out and you buy some liquid nails. You know, you go to the hardware store, comes in a caulking tube, so you need a caulk gun. And down here in Latin America, anyway, they've got three or four different brands they sell. They'll either say liquid nails in English or in Spanish, no más clavos, which means no more nails. Speaking of buying things in caulking tubes like liquid nails or silicone caulking, here's another heads up. You really have to look at the expiration dates. In fact, I was in a big hardware store the other day. Well known, franchised all through Latin America. Was in there to buy a caulking tube of 100% silicone caulk and a tube of liquid nails because, man, does that stuff come in handy. I always got a tube or two around the house. Anyway, you must look at the expiration dates. I looked at these tubes of silicone caulk, and they really looked okay in every other aspect. However, the expiration date was 2017, about a year past their useful date. Now, you might say, well, it'll still work. But believe me, when it comes to things like liquid nails and caulk, that stuff slowly but surely starts hardening in the tube after its due date. So you really have to watch out. Now, if you were at a hardware store up in the States and stuff was a year past its due date, there would be irate Americans going nuts and maybe someone would even yell out, let's sue. But there's nothing like that down here. In fact, I called over a floor walker, you know, a sales guy, and I showed him the due date and he was totally shocked. But he didn't go over to the manager and say anything. He just put it right back on the shelf. So look out. Oh, and here's another thing you should do. Anytime you buy anything that's in a caulk tube, even if it's well within its use date, squeeze the center of it a little bit between your fingers. It should not be hard, but soft, kind of like cookie dough. Then you know it hasn't prematurely hardened. So why would I even bring that up? Well, sometimes I'm driving past the big box stores and hardware stores, and out back, you see pallets of this stuff just toasting in the sun, and it's the tropical sun, you know? And if toasting in the sun will prematurely age a gringo, it'll prematurely age some caulk or some liquid nails, won't it? But back to wall fasteners. Well, you buy some liquid nails, and after you've blown the dust out of the hole with that bent straw, you inject a little glob of liquid nails in the hole, and then you proceed to tap the wall fastener or tarugo into that hole till it's flush. Now, don't overdo it. You don't want to plug the hole up with liquid nails. You'll have a big mess on your hand when you start hammering it. In fact, as you're pounding with the hammer, you're bound to get a little oozing out of the center hole, but that's okay. Just wipe it off with a newspaper, whatever. But again, don't put too much of that stuff in the hole. I'd say only about a thimbleful. But note this. Now you got to wait about a day for that to totally harden. And then tomorrow you can put your pictures up or your mirrors, whatever. All right, now you'll be fastening things outdoors once in a while too. You might want to put up some clotheslines or attach a hammock or awnings or wind chimes to your house, spotlight, security cameras, whatever. And you'll want to do the very same thing. That's why you should buy liquid nails that says it's for indoor and outdoor use. There are two kinds, you know, and the indoor stuff's a little cheaper. And man, I tell you, that stuff hardens up like a rock, and that's exactly what you want. Oh, and by the way, if you're in a retail store these days, hardware stores included, more and more stuff is labeled in both English and Spanish, which is cool for you guys and gals out there whose Spanish sucks. Now, that's something that's just come into vogue these days and didn't even exist 5 or 6 years ago. So that means these international companies are getting on board with the fact that Latin America is a huge market for construction materials. But do note that even some of the big hardware stores don't have all the hardware you might need when doing a job outside. Let's say you're mounting a satellite dish or stringing some cable wire or mounting a basketball hoop, whatever. Now, I'll tell you, 99.9% of Latinos use galvanized steel hardware outdoors. You know, it's supposed to be rust-resistant and stuff, but it ain't. When you've got a very penetrating sun and a heavy rainy season, not to mention a lot of people live on or near the beach or salt water. I'm serious, in a couple of years, fasteners that were shiny and new begin to dull up and corrode and start getting pretty stanky. You know, kind of like a rap star's tooth rack. Oh, and I forgot to mention, if you've got a swimming pool, you're going to have some hardware hookups in and around the pool, and they're going to be exposed to weather, and you're going to see the degradation fast. So what are you supposed to do about it? Well, Latinos just live with it, and sometimes they paint it, and that makes it worse. But there is a good solution, a very good solution, actually. If you're going to stay in a place a while, wherever you can, outside anyway, you want to use stainless steel screws, washers, bolts, whatever. Oh, and by the way, Latinos love to mismatch their hardware. In other words, you could have a aluminum window frame, and they'll use galvanized steel screws to fasten it. And, well, it looks good for a while. Those are dissimilar metals, and the corrosion happens even faster. You technical types will remember they call that the galvanic effect. But sometimes you just can't get around it, especially when it comes to aluminum hardware for skylights and doors, etc. The tip here is, if you're bolting or bracketing stuff, especially outdoors, if you got to put a galvanized bolt or screw into aluminum, use a nylon washer. That'll really slow down the degradation. Even better, use stainless steel hardware, as mentioned. But if you go into the average hardware store, they just don't have it. Of course, you can order it from Amazon, but it's always better to actually see, feel, and touch this stuff and buy it in the store if you can, right? Which brings us to these little stores that are popping up everywhere in medium and large cities in Latin America. In fact, if you jump on your search engine and put in the word tornillos, that's screws, and a Latin country, you'll see there are all kinds of little tiendas called Casa de Tornillos. In fact, I love those places. They've got every kind of screw, bolt, fastener you can imagine, plus nylon washers and stainless steel stuff too. However, you gotta laugh at the name of these places. You know, if you do a translation of Casa del Tornillos, it means House of Screws. Yep, House of Screws. And because our English slang for screw means just what you think it means, the fact is down here in Latin America, tornillo just means screw as in fastener. So for example, if you just arrived from Cleveland at a Latin American airport and grabbed a taxi and said, take me to the nearest Casa de Tornillos, he's going to take you to a place that sells screws and hardware. The fact is, you see, a lot of things don't translate. So if you were thinking on going to a strip club, your taxi driver just wouldn't get it, because a strip club in Latin America is called a nightclub. Yep, that's right, a nightclub. Even though your average Latino doesn't know what the English word night means, he knows what club means. They use that word all the time. Meanwhile, up in the States, if you go to a nightclub, it's a place with mixed couples and music and dancing, maybe. All on the up and up until maybe around bar time and people are drunk and stuff. Anyway, when I first discovered these little tiendas, Casa del Tornillos, you know, House of Screws, the Latin guy that was with me, I think it was a plumber, said, what are you laughing about? Hey, there was no way to break the language barrier and explain it to him, you know? So anyway, if you're doing any kind of outdoor project, especially, you want to use some stainless steel hardware wherever you can. So do, by all means, check out the nearest House of Screws. Can you tell I like saying that? By the way, there's a quick and dirty way to hang a picture, mirror, whatever, where you don't have to go through any of that buying screws and torugos and liquid nails. You just buy yourself one of those small diameter, 1/8 inch wide concrete drill bits. And instead of drilling a hole perpendicular to the wall, you tilt your drill up, and that means the drill bit itself is angling down, and you drill a pilot hole at about a 20 or 30 degree angle. So you drill into the wall about 1 inch or so. Then when you're finished, you just take a regular old nail, one that's slightly longer than the hole, slide it in, and voila. You can hang a picture, a clock, whatever. Now remember, you want the nail diameter smaller than the hole diameter, so you can slip it in and out with your fingers. That's the quick and dirty way to hang something that's not too heavy, and something you'll take with you if you move. In other words, something that's not permanent, meaning you wouldn't want to do that if you were hanging cabinets on a kitchen wall. You definitely want to do the liquid nails and the tarugo thing. Oh, and my advice for all you renters and homeowners out there in Latin American land, soon as you get down here and move into someplace permanently or semi-permanently, go to one of the big hardware stores or hardware store chains or even Costco and buy yourself a nice, compact, wet dry vac. Man, will that thing come in handy. Especially the wet vac part. I don't know a single gringo who's lived down here for any length of time who hasn't experienced a major or minor flood in his house or garage. Could be from a leak in the roof in the rainy season, bad toilet valve, or in the most recent case with me, the washing machine drain tube, you know, that shoots the gray water down the drain. It became brittle and cracked. It took the dogs to alert me that there was something wrong. I walked into the laundry room and man, what a mess. But luckily, like I said, you have to have tile floors. Forget about wall-to-wall carpeting, even rugs. Because, you know, once they've been saturated with water, there's no turning back. You practically got to get rid of them. However, with a tile floor, once the water's gone and it dries up, it's as good as new. But here's something you should never forget. If you're going to put a tile floor down, that is, you're building new or adding on to your house, whatever, always, always, always insist they put down a vapor barrier before they lay the tile. I'm talking about a real certified vapor barrier, not just a piece of plastic sheathing. You know, under any good solid tile floor, there's a concrete slab or concrete top coat. That's not where you put the vapor barrier. You put it down before you pour the concrete. So what happens if you don't put down a vapor barrier? Well, maybe nothing, especially if it's on a second floor or higher. That's when you can do without. But when your cement slab's on the first floor directly touching the earth, even with a properly prepared gravel bed, if you don't have a vapor barrier, in time, and it may take a couple of years, you'll get some moisture seepage. Maybe even a little crystallization, a kind of a white powder that starts depositing not on your tiles, but on the grout joints, and not everywhere either. But even just a little bit of that is a nuisance and unsightly. And even if you dig out the affected grout and put down new, after a couple of years, it'll come right back. Which is why, by the way, all new houses here in Latin America look absolutely great, fantastic. But almost none of them, unless a gringo is involved cracking the whip, will stand the test of time without a lot of unsightly and irritating defects. But you knew that already, right? All right, we're getting towards the end of the show, and I wasn't able to get into that wild and crazy expat Eddie story. Sorry about that. We'll get to it directly next time. But before we close today, I want to remind you once again that my July 2018 Expat Insider Seminar gets underway in about exactly 5 weeks from when this broadcast goes out. I've still got a few spaces. You can get all the details and sign up information by going to www.thenewexpat.com and click on the seminar link. You've been listening to the Expat Files Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, you can schedule a one-on-one phone call with me. But first, download my free Plan B questionnaire at www.thenewexpat.com. Better yet, if you want to get your Plan B going from right up there in the States, just sign up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. Get the perfect Plan B blueprint by going to theexpatfiles.com/academy. Nos vemos.